Hallelujah. All right, we began a while ago attempting to explore the subject of prayer. I was taking a quick look at the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and I was wondering what Jesus knew that we do not know, for which he set up a team of largely illiterate individuals, and he gave them a global mandate. I was wondering what Jesus knew that we do not know. Relatively ignorant individuals were being saddled with the responsibility of a global mandate. One of the things that Jesus knew very well was the power that was resident in the person of the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you go to the book of Revelation, you will not see Holy Spirit in the book of Revelation, you will see Spirit. Because the civilization that is sustained in heaven is powered by the full might of the Holy Ghost's glory. Now, if you go to the book of Revelation chapter 4, for instance, it says, "After this, a voice said unto me, come up hither, and I will show you things which must take place hereafter." That's what we call a summon, a spiritual summon. There are times when God decides to summon you. And whenever God decides to summon you, it means he needs your participation in order for him to accomplish that which he wants to do at that time. It's not every time that God needs your participation. Not every time. There are so many deliverances he effects over your life that you're not even aware of. There are so many battles that take place when you go to sleep, and when you wake up, you try your hands, he answers. You try your legs, they answer. You try everything, they answer. Meanwhile, there were demons that were on standby to ensure that at least your hand should not answer. But all those battles were fought, and you were not required to participate in the engagement. But whenever God needs your participation, what happens, and the spiritual name of what happens, is that he orchestrates a summon. A summon. In a summon, those are higher levels and higher dynamics of prayer. But I'm not trying to advertise. I'm just trying to get you to understand something. In a spiritual summon, God wants you to participate. So he gives you the grace to be able to listen on the decrees that have been issued from the throne room. Because those decrees are going to form the strategies by which you advance spiritually in the midst of the chaos that Satan is intending to brew. And so in the book of Revelation chapter 4, there is a summon. And the next thing that follows the summon is transport. Because you will find John say, "And immediately I was in the spirit." Yeah? There was a summon. What was the next thing? Transport. So transportation is one aspect. There are 12 aspects of civilization in heaven that is captured in the book of Revelation. And one aspect of the 12 aspects of that civilization is what we call transportation. Transportation. So in God, there are several transport experiences that he makes you have once and again. Oh my God. The way you are looking at me, it's as if I'm strange. So, well, that introduction has been cut short. Are you there?
Yes.
All right, so you still remember Elisha? When Gehazi was going to negotiate for pound sterling and US dollar, and the negotiation was taking place not with the consent of his master. He brought the gold back, hid it somewhere, and behaved as if he didn't do anything. And then his master said, did not my spirit go with you? That is, so the guy was sitting down and his spirit traveled with Gehazi to the place where he went to collect that money. So there's transportation in heaven's civilization. And God is not expecting you to arrive heaven and then you are a total novice of how heaven operates. So he exposes you to transportation here, in here. Oh, you are not with me. You are not. He exposes you to transportation right here so that when you get to heaven, it will not be strange to you. Meanwhile, you will... Okay, you are welcome to church. Let's leave it there. All right, so... these are aspects of prayer that we cannot look into now. We need to lay a good foundation before we begin to look into those matters. Then you can now decipher between a custodian. In prayer, there, when you have labored in prayer for a long time, I'm talking about people that have like 10 years up their sleeves in prayer, not beginners. Okay, so there are some set of intercessors that God makes custodians. He hides secrets with you. And there are several secrets that if God hides with you, death cannot take you. And that was what was the antidote behind death that Simeon in the book of Luke chapter 5 had. All his age mates had died. He himself prayed to die. And death turned backward from him and never came to visit again. Because he was in custody of a secret. So there is a realm called the realm of the custodians. I was reading some books by some Jewish scholars. Alright? So they are not biblical books. They are just Jewish books. Okay? So they believe that at every point in time, in order for the world not to be destroyed, there will be at least 36 custodians on earth that will keep the secrets of that generation so that the earth can be preserved. If that number is touched, it's affected, there will be a shift in the balance. Are you with me? As we grow in intercession and you become like 10 years practitioner of intercession, that's when you find your prayer identity. It's either you're a custodian or you are a guardian. You know, he said, why men slept, an enemy came. So the enemy could not come until some men. So Satan needs to put some people to sleep. He needs to give them anesthesia to sleep before he can invade some territories, before he can invade some families, before he can invade some states. All right? And I don't know how many guardians in Minnesota are still awake at this time. Okay. So there's a progression. And when we go into these deep matters, these deep aspects, it will be offline. I have found out, if we want to talk deep kingdom secrets, we should shut down. And then let's talk like brethren. Okay, so that time will come where we will explore things at that level. But tonight, I'd like you to notice that our take-up point last week was Luke chapter 18. And Jesus revealed in Luke chapter 18 that we are creatures of prayer. According to design, we are creatures of prayer. According to design, we are condemned to prayer. We are sentenced to prayer. The Bible says, he spake this parable to this end, that men, he's talking about humankind, men, that's the design for men ought always to pray and not to faint. So if you found a way of existing without praying, you are malfunctioning. You are not operating according to design. It means you found other ways of operating which is contrary to the way you were designed. Once upon a time, in our professional practice, when I was still in the oil industry. So we had to interface with several applications that were written out to aid our data capture process, because we were supposed to build a warehouse of data that will help drive policies in the sector. So some smart guys came and wrote some programs and came up with, you know, the package that we'll be uploading the data with. When we began to play with that application, we now discovered many things that the application could do that the people that designed it did not design it to do. You are not following me. You see, the people that created it for a purpose, but we found out that it was capable of many other things, which was not, what's the name of that kind of arrangement? Does it have a name? Okay, so I'm saying that you and me, we are designed to pray. That's the design. But you found out many other ways of surviving apart from prayer. It means you are becoming convenient with malfunctioning. You are becoming skillful in the art of malfunctioning, of operating outside of the manual. May the Lord give you understanding. Okay, so we saw that and we had to defeat philosophies that men normally extend in order to make us feel that prayer is unnecessary. So we asked a few questions, philosophical questions, which are the kind of questions people ask today, because several people believe that, okay, because God is sovereign, God can do what he wants to do, why do you need to pray? And a lot of people have been cheated out of the life of prayer by yielding to such logic. So our attempt last week was to defeat every such logic, so that you will understand that even though God is almighty, by an act of God's will, consistent with his purpose that he is administering, he decided to make man his partner. So you will notice that in the book of Genesis chapter 1, before man was created, there was a way God was operating. Creation was an act of the exercise of God's authority. So you'll find him saying, let there be light, and then light will come. Light will be. Light will appear. And that's wonderful. But the moment man came upon the scene, you will notice that God stopped that sovereign dimension of oppression. Because the idea of man is an extension of himself that brings his dominion into this physical frame of reference. If man is operating in an accurate fashion, God will not need to come down. But God will just pass through him and use man as a vessel. God will be the empowerment, but man is going to be the vessel through which that empowerment achieves God's dream. Are you there? It was because man was completely out of alignment that God had to become man in Christ to manifest. You see, God's purpose was so much about man that even when God wanted to redeem man, God had to become man. Now, that's how determined God is. When he sets out to accomplish something in a certain way, he must accomplish it that way. Are you there? So the thing about working with God is not just to get God to do things. God will not just do things. Okay, you want him to answer this prayer. He will only answer it in a certain way that will give him glory. There are many ways, but he will restrict himself to the way that will give him glory. And in order for us to be participants in his agenda, he gave us a blueprint of what he wants to achieve through the book of Ephesians chapter 1. We have a graphic picture of God's eternal purpose and what he intends to achieve. And man is in the soul of that implementation. So Prayer, it's partnership. That's we got to that point last week. It's partnership. Because you cannot make God do what he doesn't want to do. Are you there? So it's not bribe. I say, because I'm praying for long, at some point God will be weary. You bully him with your prayers. Then he says, hey, who is this? Then he'll be, no. That's not possible. Prayer is put in place to legitimize and to implement his will. You see, this realm here is a realm for man, for you and me. This is our realm. How many of you still remember the royal decree that we normally quote from the book of Psalms 115 verse 16? That the heaven, even the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth has he given unto the sons of men. Meaning, that scripture speaks about jurisdiction. He gave us this earth. And God doesn't use words the way we do. Whenever he speaks, his words become law. And he himself becomes subject to it, and he doesn't violate it. So if God is saying that he has given the earth unto the sons of men, he is saying that he wants you to partner with him through prayer in order for him to be able to accomplish what he wants to do. Somebody is saying in the congregation, okay, so if that is the case, and we are unwilling to participate with God, does it mean that God ceases to become almighty because of our lack of interest? Oh, you see, you only see in a linear pattern. God can wipe all of us out and raise our children. And he can do that 1,000 times if that is what it will take for him to find a generation that will pray and align with him to accomplish his purpose. If you understand it that way, you will know you are not that great. You are not that great, huh? Your greatness is that you accepted the privilege to participate with God, and that participation behoves of you to become a man and a woman of prayer. When you understand it, you will not be waiting for a prayer service in order for you to exercise your spirit. You will know that if you are able to find 2 minutes in the office, you can mutter prayer, because that's what I'm created to do. 5 minutes in the office. So I had a job. I see the way you guys work in America. This is holiday. What you do here and call job is holiday. You guys are on holiday. Do you know what job is? Job. Huh. Well, I don't know. But those days, you get to the office by 8 o'clock and you don't have a closing time. You can come home by 1 a.m. in the morning. And then you are now at the office again by 8. There's no weekend. You don't have weekends. You don't have public holidays. You can even sign off and you are on leave. Then the manager will call you. Hey, where are you? I'm on leave. Come back. That's all. And I did that for how many years? For 7 years, there was no leave. In the midst of that 7 years of confusion, I was fasting, I was praying in the office every day. Are you with me? If I steal a moment, I will go on missions from the office and cast out devils. People will give their life to Christ and I'll come back and I lived on the edge for 16 years, on the edge. I was away from my wife for 11 years. I came to America. All of you guys are on break. All of you are on break. See, I went to the bank. I said, is this the bank? It was like a lounge. You guys are on break. If I show you what I managed, the things I managed when I was working, you will not believe. The data I manufactured in one day. You are doing data, manufacturing data offshore. You are pushing it. And in that, we're still fasting and praying. So someone here wants to tell me, okay, I'm so busy, that's why. So I'm on my feet, I'm a nurse, I'm on my feet. That's the best way to pray, on your feet. On your feet. On your feet, because I can be praying and you will not know. We were designed to pray. The reason why it's difficult for you to pray is because you want to create a prayer time. So that we say this time is prayer. No. We mix it with your day, your life. That's how Jesus prescribed it. Mix it. At the airport. You are taking an Uber. You don't have time to discuss with the driver. He's trying to engage you. You are not there. You are speaking to someone else. Oh, you are not with me. You must be intentional with this thing called prayer before you become strong. See. Okay. Hearing the voice of God is easy for people that pray. That voice is not in any language that you know. Just like you are thirsty, you know. Don't you know? You know that you are thirsty. Your body uses a language to speak to you. And you don't go to any school to learn that language. It's an organic language. It's biological language. The same way you give your life to Christ and the Holy Ghost comes to dwell in your spirit, the Holy Spirit begins to transmit his own language. It's different from the language of thirst, the language of hunger, the language of tiredness, but it's a language. It's a language. Your ability to interpret that language is what will reveal that you are sitting on the seat of discernment. You need discernment more to decipher God's activity within your heart than you need discernment to decode demons. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't speak your language. So every time you were able to get what he's saying, you discerned it. You discerned it. Are you there? So he transmits. Only men of prayer that pray regularly, pray consistently, pray frequently, can interpret the language. Someone came to me and said, okay, teach us how to see visions. Then I said, do you have a dog? Said, no dog. Okay, met someone that has a pet before? Who teaches the pet how to bark? The dog, how to bark? Is there a barking school? I saw one in... May the Lord give you understanding. Exercise your spirit and some things will happen to you naturally. Naturally. We finished the Sunday prayer and I don't know how many of you were in church on Sunday. Did you feel that shift in the spirit? Because I left church, went home, and by 9 o'clock, I felt very strong danger. And I began to pray in the spirit. I thought that maybe for 2 hours, then I'll feel free. I prayed till morning. Before the thing now, it left a little. So I went to sleep. Woke up, prayed again till 12 noon before he finally left. Then somebody sent me a message. I said, are you aware, from Canada, are you aware that the prayers you people prayed on Sunday morning, it shook the devil out of place and he was running around looking for one terrible thing to do? Oh, I said, oh. Now, you see, he saw that in a dream. I didn't see anything. But I know the language. Danger is coming. So this language may not have all the details, but it gives you a clue that is accurate. That is a proof that you are alive in the spirit. Many are dead in the spirit even though they are born again. And he spake a parable to this end, that men ought always, not sometimes, always to pray. As you are working on the system, take a break. Go to the restroom. And always. Get used to it. If you do it intentionally for 9 months, you become addicted to it. It will be happening even without your knowledge. That's how to live. If you are still with me, say amen. All right, so let's go deeper. Psalms 19, verse 14, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. And I heard that my orator is back. Wanted to file a report with the local police. Psalms, what? 19, verse what? 14, and then we have 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. So, orator, start with 1 John. Now, the topic we're trying to handle under prayer is how not to pray. How not to pray. Yes, go on.
1 John 5:14 reads, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us."
Now, and because prayer is a faith adventure. Prayer is what? It's a faith adventure. It survives on confidence. It survives on assurance. Now, the reason why you prayed is because there was some form of assurance that there is a great likelihood that God will hear me. So, it's founded on assurance. It's founded on confidence. And the confidence is rooted in the Word of God. Confidence is rooted in the voice of God. Are you there? So, if the voice of God speaks into your heart, it forms a premise for confidence. If the word of the Lord has already made that provision, it means God's integrity is bound by it, and on the strength of that, you can launch the protocol. Prayer feeds on faith. Are you there? Because the God you are praying to, you cannot verify his presence with your physical senses. So you will need to depend on either the witness of the Holy Ghost in your spirit or the Word of God, which gives us provisions that God has locked down with his integrity. So he's saying something here. Yeah?
Verse 15, "And if we know that he..."
No, go back. Start again from 14.
"And this is the confidence that we have in him."
This is the confidence that we have in him.
"If we ask anything..."
We ask anything.
"According to his will..."
So the word will now comes there, making prayer a kingdom activity, an activity of God's kingdom. You see, when you begin to talk about the will of a king, this is what the king wants to do. This is what the king wants to achieve. All right? And everything that supports that which the king wants to do is an administrative procedure towards achieving that will. You there? Prayer is not utopian. Prayer is a kingdom activity that creates possibility for the implementation of the will of God. And that's why when we go into the strategies of prayer, so there are, then I don't know if that's the next topic, and I don't even know if we'll teach it this time. There's something called the strategies of prayer. One of those strategies is what we call pray reading the Bible. Now, what I mean by that is that in prayer, we pray the scriptures. So don't, you need to, before you can be a very powerful intercessor, you must begin by praying the scriptures. That means you do Bible study first to get what to pray before you begin to pray. The reason why we introduce that strategy, which is pray reading the scriptures, is that in the scriptures, the will of God is enshrined. So if you are praying with the scriptures, you are praying the will of God, and that is accurate prayer. Are you there? But in prayer, notice next verse. In prayer, there is something I want you to notice. Are you with me? Notice something in the next verse. You have seen the way we pray here and we receive answers. God manifests. God. You can have that experience every day of your life. And there are even things that if I tell you, not believe. Because you don't believe that such things can happen. Okay. 15.
And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him.
Thank you for being careful with those scriptures. When you handle scriptures like a newborn baby, it will open. But if you are reading it like a novel, you're on your own. First thing you must understand, what we are trying to accomplish is to get God to hear us. If you can get God to hear you, then the prayer is answered. See, so 15 says, because we are praying according to his will, he will hear us. And if he, by any means, hears us, we know we have our petition. So the challenge of prayer is getting God to hear you. I don't know if you know the skill of how to get him to hear you. The reason for this lecture is not because you all don't know about prayer. I'm doing this lecture in order to make your practice of prayer on the tightrope of exactitude. The tightrope. Precision. That's the instrument of prayer. Prayer is a spirit-guided means inside. That's why you need the Holy Ghost to help you pray. Because it thrives on precision. I know you like the kind of prayer you used to pray. We pray it in Africa. Every problem, every... Such prayers don't have answers. Because it's not precise. It means you are not receiving the Holy Ghost's help. When you begin to pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit begins to minister to you. You begin to see things specifically. The Holy Ghost makes it specific. It takes you from general. It brings you into the specifics. That's why you need help. You don't know what to pray for, but you need help. He will streamline and bring you into exactitude. Okay? So it's a spirit-guided missile. If we can get God to hear us, then we have prayed. All right? So this is what we're trying to achieve, getting God to hear us. Now go to this second scripture, Psalms 19, verse 14. Psalms 19, verse 14. Psalms 19, Amen. Verse 14.
Psalm 19, verse 14 reads, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight."
Okay, so when God hears us, are you there? The reason why he hears us is because the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, they are acceptable in his sight. So he can hear us. What you are saying and what you are thinking, because you will realize that prayer is not just saying. It also has a thinking component. Have you ever heard that scripture that says that God can do exceeding abundantly above that which we what? Ask or think. So there's an asking entry. There's a thinking entry. Okay, you don't want that. You want us to remain in the old school that has not generated anything. Now, the Lord will help us. The Lord will help us. So there's an asking entry, there's a thinking entry. So he says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight." It is the acceptability of the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, that brings me to this place. He hears me. Is that clear? Now, because of how critical this matter is, the matter of words and thoughts. Words and thoughts, because of the critical nature of these two issues, I need to therefore show us how not to pray. Does it make sense? Okay. Let's begin this journey. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 6.
Amen.
Seems to have been away for too long. You used to be faster than this.
Oh, no, sir. I was just waiting. Oh,
please, go on.
Okay,
go on.
Amen. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are.
So stop there. So we have one challenge. The first way not to pray is saying, do not pray as the hypocrites. That's the first way not to pray. Because you must have the right words, and you must have what? Oh my, you're not here. You know, most of you come to church. You leave your mind at home, at Brooklyn Park. So all of your prayer effort is absent-minded. That's the kindergarten of prayer. If you really want to mount up, you come with your mind. Because when the Holy Spirit begins to pour out into your vessel, His anointing will arrest your mind. Your mind will be part of the feedback process. If your mind is not traveling with you, and it takes discipline to put your mind in the prayer, because your mind wants to be at downtown, your mind wants to be in the restaurant. I don't know where they sell... There's one restaurant like that. It's just steak. Steak. Everything there is steak. It means you've been moving around. And then your mind just goes back to the last steak. You see? It's a game of words and thoughts. Ooh. Your mouth can be saying the right thing, but your thoughts is saying something else. And then even angels look at you, they are confused. They don't know. What's going on here? Steak. The mind is saying steak. Yogurt is saying vanilla, ice cream. And then the mouth is saying, Lord, deliver me. So the Lord will help us. Now, so going by the two variables, words and thoughts, we will need to go into the psychology, the thoughts of the hypocrite, the prayer hypocrite, and then we'll go into the utterance of the prayer hypocrite. Then I can now show you why you should not pray like the hypocrite. If you are still with me, say amen. If it's becoming difficult, Just do this. Then we'll settle down. These are not the difficult ones. These are the easy ones. These are foundational, but we need to do them. That's how I assume that people read their Bibles. I found out they don't. They know how to code. They can even build coding to the stars. But they have not. So I have decided that we'll build from ground up, gradually, and you'll be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. So we have a challenge, and the challenge that we have is that Jesus said, when you pray, do not pray as the hypocrites do. First of all, we need to look at continue the reading to see if Jesus gave us any insight about the hypocrites. I hope you know that the book of Matthew chapter 6 speaks about what we call righteous deeds of the kingdom people. And in Matthew chapter 6, there are three righteous deeds that the kingdom people are engaged in. The first is giving, the second is praying, and the third is fasting. And in giving, there is a giving hypocrite. In praying, there is a praying hypocrite. And in fasting, there is a fasting hypocrite. Our concern at this hour is not the giving hypocrite or the fasting hypocrite. Is identifying the praying hypocrite, because we should not pray like the hypocrite. Before Jesus began to teach how to pray, Jesus taught how not to pray. Yeah, so help us.
And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are.
Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. How are they?
For they love to pray standing in the synagogues.
Aike salokoma.
And in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men.
So you see, so the audience of the prayer hypocrite equals what? Men. Because the audience of the prayer hypocrite are men, the most strategic place for them to encounter men to see their craft is in the synagogues. And at the corner of what? Of the streets. So he needs to be in a strategic position where people will see him, because the objective of the prayer hypocrite is that he wants to be seen by men. Prayer is such a holy enterprise. And you must understand that you don't become a hypocrite. I don't know how to help us. It's a very holy thing. And as we go on, I will show you how not to be a hypocrite. If for any reason I come to church and I want to prove to Sister Beth that I'm such a mighty intercessor, and maybe the way I intend to achieve that is that I'm praying very loud. Whoa, 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 whoa. You know, because of the audience of the hypocrite, he has strange ways of prosecuting prayer. He has strange ways because his audience is men. So it means that if you are praying to a man, you should be expecting that the result or the answer to that prayer will come from a man. A prayer meeting was called, inclusive of so many different denominations, so it was like a corporate territorial prayer effort. And so many denominations came together. I hope we'll be able to achieve such a thing in Minnesota. Now, let me give you the skill of how to survive a corporate prayer initiative that involves people that are not in your denomination. Because you are going to see that on the subject of prayer, there are different styles, there are different ways. Whether it is biblical or not, that's what prayer is in some quarters. So you need to stand down. And let's allow the body pray. All right? Everybody may not pray the way you are doing. So, and you see, the concept of prayer in Africa is a bit different from how it is here. In a typical prayer atmosphere in Africa, a lot of people believe that if you are not in a certain motion, a certain physical motion, it means you have not entered into your spiritual flight. And those of us that are not religious, I don't like religion. I just like spirituality. I like spirituality a lot. And so I came into the place and I was deeply moving in my prayers, but I did not move in the physical. So the guy that was ensuring that people were mobilized to pray felt that I was in the flesh because I was not doing like that. So it means that an entire denomination in their prayer practice became hypocrites just because they have a mode of how people should express themselves when they are praying. And if you check that mode, you will notice that the audience is man and not God. And that's why I need to balance this. Don't believe me yet. I need to balance what I just said by letting us understand that there is something called the spirit of prayer. There's another thing called the anointing of prayer. Anytime you see this word, are you there? Anytime you see this word anointing, add this word in bracket, teaching. Add the word teaching in bracket. So let me explain. Prayer is not something you can achieve in the flesh. The Bible says that the Spirit helps our infirmities because we know not what we should pray as we ought. The Spirit Himself helps what? Our infirmities. It means in the natural, we are weak, we are insufficient, and the Spirit is the personality that was designed to swallow up our insufficiency. Then He now shows us that prayer is our highest activity of insufficiency. We are insufficient. Huh? But in prayer, our insufficiency is loudest in prayer. You are not following me. We are insufficient in everything. But in prayer, it is loudest. So the Spirit helps our infirmities. That means you need the spirit of prayer to drive every prayer adventure. So you can start speaking in tongues now. All right? When the spirit of prayer comes upon you, the spirit of prayer will change the frequency of your utterance. You know what I'm talking about. And the spirit of prayer will bring you to a place where you realize your prayer voice. Every intercessor has a prayer voice. And if you've been praying for long and you have not heard your prayer voice, you know you have not yet started praying. You see, now watch this. In the map of prayer, if you are drawing the map of prayer, this is where you start. You are trying to take off from the flesh. Are you there? When you are taking off from the flesh, what you normally take off with is prayer point. Prayer point is here. When you enter into the spirit of prayer, maybe this is the spirit of prayer. Yeah? The point at which the spirit of prayer takes over, we call this point the point of prayer. When you are starting, you have prayer point. When the spirit of prayer comes on you, what do you have? Point of prayer. So you have arrived at the point of prayer. So you start praying from here. But all you were doing here was attempting to gain ascendancy, attempting to attract the Spirit, waiting on the Spirit, trusting that the Spirit of God will come. All of that is the process of getting energized. So there's a difference between your prayer point and what? Your point of prayer. When you arrive at the point of prayer, your voice will change. your real prayer voice will come. If you wear your real prayer voice, that's when you can lead people to pray. So, before you lead prayer at home, migrate from prayer point to where? To point of prayer before you come here. You will not be able to carry everybody in the prayer vehicle if you have not arrived at the point of prayer. And that prayer you are attempting to lead will be dead, and nobody will be able to board it because you have not arrived at the point of prayer. You don't have your prayer voice. The same way we have, and your prayer voice is unique to you. No human being will have that prayer voice. No human being. Your prayer voice is the key to your preacher's voice. You know, you also have your preacher's voice. If you have not yet put on your preacher's voice, it means that you have not found your prayer voice. There is a voice I have. Most of you have heard it on some of the tapes. There's one voice. I don't know if you know that voice. There's a voice. There's a voice. If that voice comes, that's my preacher's voice. I don't know where the words will be coming from. It will just be coming. It will just be coming. That's when you see people crying. People, oh Jesus. Well, if that is the preacher's voice, it is born out of the prayer voice. It is a proof that you have arrived at the point of prayer. So many Christians still carry prayer points, but intercessors know the point of prayer. Is that clear? That is a vehicle that we board, and the name of the vehicle is called the Spirit of Prayer. Now, see, the difference between the Spirit of Prayer and the anointing of prayer is that anytime an anointing comes upon you, what the anointing does to you is that the anointing begins to teach you. You see, if while you are praying, then you feel like you are supposed to read Psalms 112 verse this to raise another prayer point, it means that you are now operating by the anointing of prayer. Because the anointing of prayer is teaching you how to lead the prayer. The Bible says, I believe it's 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, the Bible says, ye have received an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. He said that same anointing that is in you will teach you. So the proof of the presence of an anointing on your life is when you begin to receive spiritual education. Exactly. So at that time that the anointing is teaching you how to lead the prayer, teaching you how to pray the prayer, it is no longer you that is responsible for that prayer. It is that anointing that is propelling the prayer. It means you have left the flesh completely and you are gliding. It's just, oh my God. If you enter into the anointing of prayer, except you want to stop, the anointing doesn't stop. So it's no longer by power. No longer by might. It is by what? The Spirit of God. Is that clear? Now, so hypocrites, the focus of a hypocrite is who? These are a few points I'd like you to take. First point I want you to take is that prayer is primarily communion with God for the manifestation of his glory. That's the first point. Prayer is primarily communion with God for the manifestation of God's glory. But the hypocrite uses prayer to, one, glorify himself. Two, prays to be seen and he's not praying for God to hear him, but he's praying for people to see him. So he's praying to be seen, but he's not praying to be heard. Can you see that? God is supposed to, people are supposed to hear, your prayer is supposed to be heard, but the hypocrite is praying to be seen. Three. The hypocrite is not conscious of the heart impute for his prayer effort. So it means that the hypocrite, the heart of the hypocrite, doesn't necessarily need to be in the prayer in order for him to achieve his goal. Are you there? He's not conscious of the heart impute for his prayer effort. Not conscious of the heart impute for his prayer effort. Number four. Based on the three above, prayer is an activity of the heart, and prayer is an activity of the heart, but the hypocrite makes it an adventure in the flesh. Are you there? So, prayer is an activity of the heart. Prayer is a call to humility. Because the reason why you pray is because you know that you don't have the answer, but God has the answer, and you have accepted your position in the matrix, and you are going to God because you understand your place. So it's an act of humility. Are you there? But the hypocrite changes prayer, makes it an act of pride. Something for pride. Intercessors are supposed to be the most humble. I've seen intercessors of all times. Old intercessors. I've seen what prayer made them. Very loving, humble people. I'm talking about ladies whose prayers can turn the tide. But if you see them in person, they know that the power that they wield in prayer is not something that they are capable of in the flesh, because of that perpetual use of humility in the presence of God. It has shaped those individuals. I'm seeing intercessors today that are like this. That what if whatever made you like that is prayer hypocrisy. It cannot be prayer. If you are still with me, say amen. So prayer is not capable in the flesh. It's an embodiment of humility, not a display. It is based on the activity of the heart and not a show of the flesh to please men. Things to note. One, a man that will survive by prayer must be conscious of what is going on in his heart. If you are going to survive by prayer, then you must deploy every resource of discernment to know what is going on in your heart. How many of you still remember Elijah? Elijah was praying for rain. Is that clear? Then he kneels down and puts his head between his legs while kneeling. That's what the safety individuals on the flight call the double bow posture. You know, in a situation of turbulence, of hard landing, they will advise that you put your head. So that was the posture that Elijah sustained when he was doing that prayer. So he could not raise his head to see what was going on in the sky. So he asked his servant, "You go check what is happening. This prayer I'm praying, the canvas of the sky will be the place where the effect will be manifested." So he goes for 1 hour, one unit. He tells the guy, "Go check." Nothing. Goes for the second unit. That's how you'll be checking your heart. That canvas is your heart. Goes for the second unit. And sometimes you need to pray for 4 hours, 5 hours before the communication begins. In that case, the man went for 7 units before the servant now saw a cloud that was in the shape of a man's hand. And that was a sign that Elijah was looking for. And I would like you to understand that when you are praying, a small sign, very small sign, is the sign that confirms an abundance of rain. Small sign, but yet an abundance. So you must be diligent to interpret the sign that is forming on your heart accurately. And that little sign is a sign of a great thing. I don't know how many of you have ever heard someone that wanted to travel, and then the person now eventually traveled, had an accident, but he didn't die, but that a lot of damage was done to the person's body. And the person was telling the story that something was telling me not to travel. Something. You see, the sign had been formed in the canvas of the heart, but it could not be discerned. The person called it something. And that something did not have the authority to make the person change the trip. May you not call the Holy Ghost something. Amen. That's the first thing to note. A man that will survive by prayer must be conscious of what is going on in his heart. Psalms 139, verse 23. Psalms 139, verse 23. Orator, please help me. 139 verse 23. Quickly.
Amen. Psalm 139 verse 23 reads, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting."
So this man is an intercessor. So he knows that the theater for his intercessory effort is his heart. He doesn't want his heart to be in the wrong state. If not, his prayer enterprise is going to be in futility. So he is always running checks on his heart. He's always making sure that he doesn't have a bitterness. Even though you and your husband had a quarrel in the night, you know that that quarrel is going to affect your prayer. So you just go and you hold his leg. I'm a dramatic man. When I want to deliver myself from something, I do it. I go. I move first. I will think about it later because I want deliverance. Hold the leg and deliver yourself and let the bitterness go so that your heart can be in a state where you can do business. If you are capable of keeping malice for 24 hours, I can't even afford that. A demon will appear from Plymouth and fly to my house. I can't do that. I've punched the devil many times. My security is in my alignment with God. Are you there? Please, you cannot afford it. You cannot afford remaining in a state of a heavy heart. So a true intercessor runs consistent checks on his heart to ensure that he is in a state that is conducive for his prayer adventure. His life depends on his prayer. So he makes sure that there's no weight on his heart. Is that clear? Second thing to note is this. Are you there now? You are not seeing what I'm doing. The hypocrite's audience is God, is men. So because of that, prayer is a thing of show. And if he succeeds to show, the reward he gets from showing men that he is a spiritual man is pride. Are you there? So that pride, spiritual pride, becomes what informs his carriage. Are you following? Meanwhile, prayer is supposed to be a thing of the heart. Because in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 6, it says that God, our God, he sees in secret. And he is in secret. So prayer is a heart thing, it's a secret thing, it's a communion-based thing, and if you are doing it, you become humble. Are you there? You become conscious of your heart. And in that state, you cannot receive the help of the Holy Ghost to help you power the process every time. If you are praying the right way, not as a hypocrite, you will be diminishing and diminishing and diminishing and becoming more humble because you understand the trick. If you find people that are intercessors and they are becoming like this, give them 10 years. They will produce wind. You know what they call wind? Someone, if a woman is pregnant, her tummy comes out. And we are expecting that after 9 months, you will produce something. When people begin to pray, when you begin to focus on prayer, people will be waiting to see what you will give birth to. The hypocrite gives birth to wind. Oh, you are not with me. Oh, I think you need a scripture. You need a scripture. The way I'm seeing you. The hypocrite produces wind. You saw him in a prayer meeting for 25 years. He was there. Then after 25 years, wind. It means his heart was not working. He was doing what he was doing to show. That's why I need to teach you how not to pray. So that you will not waste your... Give me 2 years. Yeah? 2 years. And watch your life. Give me 2 years. I'm telling you what I have done before. I taught people prayer and then we began to pray. The transformations that took place. Jesus Christ, you can't understand it. Give me 2 years. Because of your inability to comprehend what I'm saying. If you are still with me, say amen. Okay, so Will, check the other mic. You stay where you are. Nicole, you stay where you are. Will, can you go to Isaiah chapter 26, verse... Isaiah chapter 26, verse 15 to 18. Isaiah 26, 15 to 18.
Isaiah.
Please listen. So the hypocrite, the human beings around, is the reason for which he's doing what he's doing. So he's doing so that everybody will say, oh my God, this is spiritual. And the Bible says he has gotten his reward. So people now respect him because he's the spiritual guy. And then he goes around with an air of spirituality, you know. I look into things. All right, so. Okay, please listen.
Isaiah 26:15. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord.
Increased the nation, O Lord.
Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified.
Thou art glorified.
Thou hast removed it from unto all the ends of the earth.
You have removed it from the ends of the earth.
16. Lord, in trouble, have they visited thee?
They visited you.
They pour out a prayer when
they did not come to God when God increased them. They came in when that increase finished. That's where they remember God and say, oh, take us as we are. Take us as we are. Okay, read. Let me know this.
Lord, in trouble, they visited thee.
They have visited thee.
They pour out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them.
When thy chastening was upon them.
Like as a woman with a child.
He now wants to use a parable to describe their condition. He said, like a woman with child. Yeah?
That draw near time, near the time of her delivery.
The woman is drawing near to the time of her delivery.
Is in pain.
Is in pain.
And cry out in her pangs.
He cries out in her pangs.
So have we been in thy sight, O Lord.
So have we been in thy sight. It means that prayer is like a pregnancy. If you continue and you carry it to term, it will manifest what you conceived. Huh? Okay, so no intercessor can lie to us. In 10 years, we will know what you were pregnant with. That's why I'm saying don't pray like the hypocrites. Go on.
Verse 18.
Yeah?
We have been with child.
We have been with child.
We have been in pain.
We have been in pain.
We have, as it were, brought forth in wind.
See, you, well, because of the way you want to read it, you want to kill that my scripture. He said, we have been with child, we have been in pain, and we have, as it were, brought forth wind. That's what happens to the hypocrite. It will look as if he's pregnant. Everybody will be expecting that the kind of destiny that will come out of the... Then he brings forth what? Instead of a positive thing, a strange tragedy will strike him. Because he was a hypocrite. Please help me preach to your neighbor. Are you preaching? Do not be a prayer hypocrite. That scripture is not in the script. I just added it so that you will understand the gravity of this matter. Oh, maybe I will tell us a story. But let me finish first. Let me finish. I have 2 points. Then we'll finish. A man that wants to pray, you know, I say things to note. What's the first thing to note? You must be conscious of your heart. Second thing to note, you must read your heart of weight. Ah, who is this person that is supposed to be here? You come. You come there. You must read your heart of what? Wait. The prayer is a heart thing. Your heart is the laboratory. You will now, if you understand what I'm saying, you will now discover the reason why Satan doesn't want that heart to rest. Just when you are finding peace, you are finding peace, an alignment is coming. Then, in fact, sometimes, see, I know you are so compassionate. That's why I'm praying for you. On WhatsApp, block some lines. Just block them. The people that created WhatsApp, they know that most demonic problems will come through that means. So they now figure that there will be a need to block. As your heart begins to settle, you are feeling fine inside, because the best state that your heart must assume before you can ascend. Ah, there's a way the Hebrew words put it, that is like the words used is like a mist that ascends. That's what happens when the Spirit of God aids you to pray. The prayer ascends like a mist. That's what we call incense. Satan knows you have power to draw the attention of heaven, the capacity of heaven, the glory of heaven in your direction, to war on your side in the day of battle. So when he notices that your heart is enjoying peace, what he does is that he brings turbulence. Turbulence can come in form of a message from a distant place. Somebody has not called your line for 15 years. Now, hey, by 5 a.m. in the morning, when you are supposed to be transacting, he sends in a message that is designed to consume all your prayer power for that day. Meanwhile, Satan has programmed that 12 noon that day, with the weapon he has formed against you, he wants to launch it by 12 noon. So he needs to distract you by 5 a.m. When I want to do business, you know that thing, call the phone. It's your enemy. You cast it away. You switch it off first so that it doesn't ring. Block out the alarm. Then throw it somewhere. Then you now learn the trick that Joshua learned when he wanted to take Jericho. Jericho was a cuboid. If a cuboid should fall, as your English Bible says it did, it will still be the same height that it was. Have you seen a cube of sugar before? Do they still make them in America? Okay. The cube of sugar? They still make it? Cube. Okay. If you throw the cube and it falls this way, it's still the same height. It's a cuboid. That's how the wall of Jericho was. It was an engineering feat. It was designed never to be breached. When Joshua came and saw it, he knew that no general would be able to penetrate this. He went to commune in the evening time, and the angel that was sent to partner with him appeared. The mystery that Joshua did not know about the armies of Israel is that the members of the armies of Israel were not only men. They had human members. They also had angelic members. And it was the captain of the angelic side that came to salute Joshua. And Joshua spoke like a warrior. He was not trained on how to speak to the spiritual counterpart. He said, "Are you for us or against us?" That was the mistake he made. They say, "You talk too much." And because you talk too much, you will keep quiet for 7 days and march around the wall. You're not following. You're not following. You talk too much. So keep quiet now. Keep mute and march. The only thing that is allowed to walk is the heart. And he's walking for 7 days. He's walking for, and then in the seventh day, he now discovered that he was not the only one marching. That the angels were also marching, and they were marching on the string. In there was a rhythm of movement. Spirits and men marching. Then when he understood that he was not alone, then I said, "Okay, now you can shout." And it was not just any shout, it was Shabak. There are 7 words for praise in the book of Psalms. Shabak is one of them. Shabak is the shout that you shout that when you are stirred by the Spirit. I like Rufus. He does that. He does Shabak. When he's leading prayer, he will shout. That thing is not in the flesh. Is Shabak. The Holy Ghost tears the depth of your belly and then he allows you to give up a shout. It was when he shouted Shabak that the angels now went first, stood on the walls of Jericho, and they stamped it down. The wall did not fall, it sank. Can you keep quiet? And allow your heart to speak. I don't know when. Do you still remember the last time that you cried? Do you still remember it? That you cried like this? You were just saying something like, it means you were not talking. But you were feeling what you were crying. Because your heart can speak. You were making a sound that was the expression of the sorrow that you were feeling. Holy Spirit to move. Allow the heart. As you pray in the Spirit, be watching the heart. Right? Be watching it. The time will come when there will be a movement on it. Oh, Jesus. That's how I know if Satan is near. That movement. There is a movement that will show that there's danger. There's a movement that will show that, oh my God, great things will happen today. In my kaboko, man. My kaboke. Are you there? It's a thing of the heart. Don't be a hypocrite. There's so much to explore from within you. There's more excitement within you than there is on Champions League. Now, so the first point I said you need to notice is that you need to be conscious of the heart. Second point I said you need to notice is that you must rid your heart of weights. And that's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Rid it of weights. So Satan wants your heart to be weight. Meanwhile, you explore prayer better when your heart is light, like an athlete. I brought a trainer home, very experienced trainer, to come make sure that I'm fit, especially to achieve my vision, my six pack. The trainer said, raise your left leg. Say, raise your right leg. Say, touch your toes. I try. He said, when I finish, said, you are 60 years old. He said, the way you are carrying your leg is like a weight. See, he said, lay aside every weight. You are 60 years old now. Yes. In the spirit, you can be 60 years old carrying weights. Shed it off. Those days when I stand on the scale, I knew there was a problem. So I caught my eating. I'm almost there. This six pack, I'm almost there. Then my strength began to come back because I was shedding off weight. Do you know how spiritually agile you become when you shed off weight? You are keeping that boyfriend. Anytime the boyfriend leaves, he leaves you with a weight to handle. And you've been going through that merry-go-round for the past 15 months. And you want to make progress. He said, lay aside every weight. The prayer man must be light so that he can fly. Our intercessors, they were praying for a lady. And they had labored for about 6 hours. No change. So they saw that my cab passed by. They came and stopped. Stop, you park, back. Come and show us what we are not doing right. This is what you taught us. We have done it for 7 hours. So I knew that everything they did is not what they were supposed to do. So I need to find out what was supposed to be done. You know what? They were praying, but they could not fly because they were too heavy. So when I came into the room, I had to fly. I had to reach heaven. You need to be light to get there. In 20 minutes, that problem was solved. But they were there for 7 hours. I went up there. I said, can you do this? Can you do that? Do this. The bondage broke in 20 minutes. Meanwhile, they were there for 7 hours. Lay aside every weight so that you can be someone Oh, the Bible says that we mount up with wings. Those metaphors, don't think the Bible is just trying to be poetic. It's an experience. I know what it means to fly. 20 minutes. We went to the interior village to pray, and we were driving back. And our pastor's elder brother sent me a message. He said, "Are you aware that your pastor will die soon?" Die? And I said, "Die?" He said, "Yes. He's almost gone." And glory to God, where we were was close to his house. From the village, we stopped there. And I saw my pastor on the bench in the hospital. What will you do? You will cry. You join us. Right there. I finished my discussion up there before I spoke to him. Hey! He lived. I did not just come like the way you will come and start praying and say, Jesus, where are you praying from? I went up first. And I began to present my CV. Say, "From my childhood have I served you, O Jesus." I told him the things I suffered for his name. I told him, those are my credentials. I had a choice to do this, but I did this. And it cost me 5 years. And it was for your name that I fought. When I presented, and because of that, this one here, I make demands. Let him rise up. That was it. He came to tell the story. That after that prayer, there was a shield that came about him. The things that were choking him in the spirit couldn't reach him again. Then he began to recover. And he told the congregation, "I'm alive because this man refused for me to die. I'm not that powerful, but I know how to fly." And if you are carrying baggage, carrying weight, you borrow the baggage of your neighbors and everything. If it's time to fly, you'll be left behind. Lay aside. Pay the price to make your heart light. Pay it. Finally. Hallelujah. Put your heart in the listening mode. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1. "I will stand upon my watch. Set me upon my tower. And I will wait to see what the Lord will say unto me." Set your heart on listening mode. If you want to bring intervention, listen to me. Someone is dead and they are taking the person to the mortuary. Ask them to hold on first. Ask them to hold on. You know what you need to do? Remove your heart from the grief. No. Don't. Hey, when you are going to help people, don't cry with them. No. If you want to be the solution to the problem for which they are crying, don't enter into their emotion. Shield yourself from it. And then do what? Ushers and ministers, they were in a crusade. They gathered around a lady that was possessed with demons, and they were struggling. The lady was so strong. The lady was stronger than them. They were strong. I was irritated. I came down from the pulpit where they were struggling. Then I cried. The spirit jumped up. Oh my God. The spirit jumped out instantly. So the one of the pastors came to me after that. What is it that you did that we did not use? You people are heavy. You are down. My message to you tonight is make sure you are light enough to fly. That's one of the ways you should not pray. Don't be a hypocrite. Next, we'll do the second way. Don't use vain repetitions as a hidden door. That's for next week. Fly. Today, can we fly today? If you want to fly, forget the problems you have. You are not yet married. You are trusting God for. Can you just keep it behind? Lay aside the weights, the concerns, and let Jesus and Jesus alone be your focus. Be your focus. Be your focus. He says, "Has thou not heard? Has thou not known that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, is never weary, and there is no searching of his understanding? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. For even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like the eagles." Oh, we are such that wait upon you. Grant that our strength will be renewed. So much so that we might mount up with wings like the eagle. I take over sick. Ego sabono toli makida hita. Ego seto mina katekunda. Ego skemo salaboko mina kadia. You can fly beyond the reach of the scorpion. You can fly beyond the reach of the serpent. You can fly. You can mount up. You can float in under the wings of the Spirit of God. You can fly. Hey! Come on, Tia Suka. Ovela monte ekesi baboko de mesa iko laboka tua te kamita lagobatu se kabeda kose menekede habiso samo amaka yote amaka santoria amaka kode mansale amaka yeto si kameta kida abaskompa mote. You need to hide yourself in the heavens before you show yourself on the face of the earth. Maketomena sika petokonda eskope kominda ayeko seto kombe malika tamina. You need to present yourself before the throne of grace, before you manifest as master over situations and circumstances. Yetomena ki abroketo kombe masalete evotia tekoma eskope abigo baboske. We receive wings. We receive wings to mount up so that we might fly. Kapose afamina ikopa bokotaku ama sentoria ama kabebose apreskopa monta agadedia se. Yes, you can go beyond the weight of your current troubles and you can fly. Afeli, Afakonde, oh my God, Esubilato, Esubimenati, Avelaito, Asketo Mantua, Amakayetete, Avela Kute Mansala, Abacopre Eskila, Arekaitete, Abemo, Amakayobo, Asumenatua, Abrescopa Matuke, Ayetoske, Ayantabake, Akela Monda, Asi.
Ima. Yes, Abobato. He gave her power to the faint. He gave her power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increased that strength. He gabote mankadia. He gasamakote. Abila kopa kude mansale. For even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men, they shall all tally fall. Aite kope masu, aite sami, amakobe mabilato, emokate, emosike, emokabulato, emosantoria, amakude mansali, abreska itete, abresko me mantoa, abakose bantali, ababamatoke bantala, agelato, agababosketa manselaite, amakora babo, asima, ayatoma, ayakabebona, ayas. Santo, Ayakila Bonde, Amula, Askelobe, Iskabo. We go off ground tonight. Avelito Compa, Amakabo Bose, Yetete, Mamma Mata, Akoriati Kabonda, Amaua, Amasaite, Aleko, Awapa Sobela, Ikamentobo, Apilako, Amakoria, Amasante, Ala. La, la. Show yourself before the throne before you make yourself manifest on earth. Hello! Babosi, Yatako Babo, Amekala Babos, Amasobelaita, Amakante Coco, Afule Babo, Amakaya Sola, Ababo Babo Sala, Ayatope, you can mount up, you can mount up, you can take your flight, you can take your flight, you can be set in motion, you can leave the serpent behind, you can fly. Sebila kote matwa ameke amasubelata afaite amakanda babo harekako asama delita. Oh my God. Ureda dobo seminaite kendo amamo pas amamale kompas amamasika elabrosketo mantele amamena kuta pre ayatomena ayamamena kadia la babo la soka baya embra bobo samena tela amenana la 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 babo seke mama. Ebina luda dai la momenale. Eduna lela. Aya la babole malega dali mama. Eduna la mama ya. Semina la ika mama ye komama. Semona li kama mela ya. Semona la de bolo sename. Semona silabo mande. Yeah. Yeah. You can fly. Sofila Boltekeska, Yababo Sekamina Anteko, Yetobina Subriata Babonda Mante, Ayatobe Masi, Ayasanda Baboria, Ayasemina Kodia, Ayamuke Sabakoske Tame, Abrescope Makodia, Asamakante Babase, Ebrakota Hisa Manakedia, Yesosila Brante Koda Bababote. We'll be right back.